Good evening. This is Bob Lederer. I'm the convener of the ad hoc working group on the bylaws amendments concerning delegate elections, and that's a working group of the PNB Elections Committee. And we were created at the meeting on August 27th, and let me actually just read the motion that established us so that people understand what the purpose is. There was a motion adopted to form a work group empowered to consult with the moving directors, that is, the directors who've moved these bylaws amendments, there's seven of us, to seek resolution of possible ambiguities in the proposed bylaws amendments. The work group shall include all committee members who choose to attend. The National Election Supervisor and Foundation Council shall be invited to attend, and those present may agree to the participation of others. And then it was specified that we'd meet tonight. So here we are, and I guess first let me introduce who's on the call. We have Terry Goodman from KPFK. I forgot to say I'm from WBAI. And we have the National Election Supervisor, Casey Peters. So would either of you like to propose anyone else to be invited to attend who's not on the committee?
Terry has nobody.
Okay. Casey?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of who might join us.
Okay. Well, I wanted to invite, I called all the PNB members who are co-sponsors of the amendments that are not already members of the committee who have been automatically invited. And the only one who said he might be available tonight would be Michael Woodson from KPFT. So if there's no objection, I'd like to just go off the call for 30 seconds to invite him on to this call. Any objection?
Fine with me. The more input we have, the better.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Do you have his number? Excellent. Okay. All right. So while he's doing that, let me just reiterate for those who don't know what we're referring to about these bylaws amendments, that this is a package of three amendments that were proposed by seven directors back in early July, largely came out of work from the Elections Committee and specifically from a working group that developed these. And then they have gone through, they did go through a little bit more redrafting after the committee was done just to catch some issues that people had brought up. And then they were formally proposed and have been noticed and will be voted on by the PNB this Friday, September 7th, and by the different LSBs under their rubric as delegate assemblies. Starting, I understand, tomorrow at KPFK will be the first vote, and then the other four stations throughout the month will be voting on them. So the reason for this working group being created was that some members have brought to our attention some possible ambiguities of language or possible error in one case in wording, and an effort to try to put our thoughts together on how those things, those issues can be remedied. So maybe at this time I should call our Foundation Counsel, Dan Siegel, who said he would be on standby. So if folks could just bear with me for 1 minute, I'll give him a quick call, and then we can get started.
Okay, just let me interject.
Yes.
My observation is that the intent is clear, and there doesn't seem to be disagreement among the proposers as to the meaning, but that bylaws can be tricky. And, Terry here is somebody who is very good at reading bylaws and finding errors, and other people have helped with that as well. I think that, you know, that it's smart for us to look at this at this point to see what we can iron out so it's quite clear what people will be voting on, and to take the debate away from the after passage side of this.
I think that's an excellent summary of what, you know, where we're at tonight. So thank you for that. So I'm just going to get off the call for less than a minute, and I'll be right back. Hopefully soon we'll be followed by Dan Siegel. 1 second.
What do you say, Terry?
Well, I'm thinking that one of the reasons we want counsel's opinion is to identify what is the scope within of the original notice within which the text of the proposed amendment may be changed by the delegates and the PNB.
Yeah, you caught an error in the date that the delegates be seated.
Right. The text as it is now specifies seated in 2008, but if it's going to apply to those in the current election, it should say seated in December 2007.
So it's not the intent. It's just somebody made an error in writing it and intended to start with the seating of the new delegates after the current election process.
Right.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Bob. I'm back, and Dan Siegel will be joining us momentarily. Sorry to interrupt, Terry. Were you finished?
I was enjoying what we expected to hear from Mr. Siegel.
Right. Okay. Well, let's see. There's one issue that Dan is very familiar with, so I'll just start explaining it now. I think this is the easiest one that we can quickly dispose of, and that's an error that some of us who worked on the wording unintentionally made, and that can be fixed. And thanks to, I appreciate Terry Goodman bringing that to our attention, and some of the other points that he brought really, you know, helped clarify some points. Dan, is that you?
Hi, Bob. It's Dan. Yeah.
Hi. Okay, and we've got Barry Goodman and Casey Peters on the line with us. And we
Howdy, Dan. Howdy. How's everyone?
Hanging in there.
And we're also on the web stream right now.
Okay.
And we may be joined by others.
How can I help you?
Okay, thanks. Well, I was just starting to explain the first and simplest matter is the error that Terry very helpfully brought to our attention about the date of the seating of people who are elected this year.
Right.
And let's see. Terry, do you have that in front of you? I'm just pulling
it
up.
Well, it's simply changing the seated in 2008 language in the proposed amendment.
Right. No, I remember that language.
For 2007.
Right.
Right.
And that's seen clearly to just, you know, fix an error that is obvious and doesn't change the meaning or intent of anything. So I thought that was easily correctable, and in fact, I thought it was well within the scope of the provisions from Robert's Rules that Terry sent around, and not inconsistent with anything in the Pacifica bylaws or California law.
Right. Okay. So then, does anyone else want to address this particular issue?
Dan covered it.
Okay, so then I think there's no question that this is just a simple change of a few words to fix an error about clarifying that it's I'm sorry, I'm just about to find this and read it to folks so they understand the context of where this appears.
It's in the transition election.
Right. Forgive me 1 second.
looking?
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the section on transition election that would, you know, bring these changes into effect, and it says, if bylaws amendments establishing four-year terms are approved by the membership in 2007, they will take effect immediately. In that event, any delegates and associate station representatives seated in 2008, that's the phrase that's in error. It should say elected and seated in December 2007. And then it goes on to say, and in future elections shall be granted four-year terms, and any delegates and associate station representatives serving three-year terms in 2007 shall serve their original terms, subject to the term limits, if any, approved by the membership in 2007. And then there's another sentence about how this applies to associate station representatives. So this is a good segue to the second issue, which Terry has raised, and maybe you could summarize about that last phrase I read may seem to have some ambiguities. You want to explain that, Terry?
Yeah, the phrase was, what was the phrase?
The phrase was... That the people, those serving three-year terms in 2007 shall serve their original terms subject to the term limits, if any, approved by the membership in 2007.
Okay, yeah, subject to the terms approved by the membership comes at the end of a long line that doesn't just mention those elected in 2007. It mentions three different descriptions of delegates, and so it could be interpreted as applying to all of those. And plus we have the situation where bylaws amendments are adopted as soon as they are approved, unless they say otherwise, and that will occur before any delegates are seated. So if we approve term limits that might apply to delegates that were just elected, then it creates the problem of, can we seat them if seating them is a violation of the term limits that were just approved?
Right. And let me just say, as one of the co-sponsors of this, and I've polled several of them, I haven't been able to reach all of them, that there is not a single one of us that had that intent when some of us worked on the language and other people signed on after the language was done. But this, we were not trying to force out of office people who have just been elected later this year, and then because, let's say, the voters choose a one-term limit and the person might have already served one term, that they would be denied a seat. That makes no sense, and it's not what we want. So... And I actually haven't heard from anyone who's advocating that approach or that application. So it's really just a wording issue and not a question of different opinions about how they should work. Maybe, Casey, this would be a good time for you to introduce the memo that you sent today and explain kind of what your thinking was, and then read the text of it to everyone.
Sure. My thinking was that, yes, there seems to be some confusion. A lot of confusion has arisen from the fact that when we had our initial election back in 2003, we were electing the entire board all at once, all five local station boards around the country. So we were seating 24 members on each of these boards all at once. Some of them were for terms that were actually turned out to be less than a year, and half of them were for three-year terms. The purpose of that was to create a staggered term so that the board would have stability. It wouldn't all be up for re-election at the same time. We'd have half of the board continuing to serve, but the other half would vacate a seat or reelected, and so we'd maintain some continuity of governance and keep the system flowing more evenly. Well, that was fine until it came up to the point where the term limits started kicking in, and there was some disagreement about how they actually how did the term limits of 6 years, two terms totaling no more than 6 years, really was to be interpreted in the bylaws. Well, looking ahead, we could see that there would be problems if we change the term limit, and there are three different proposals about term limits that may come up as bylaw amendments in the coming election. So we're looking ahead to make sure that it's clear what the application of the term limits will be. Just let me briefly state there are three different proposals. Well, there actually there's a proposal to change the length of the term from 3 years to four in order to enable us to have our elections every other year, just in odd-numbered years so they don't conflict with presidential and congressional elections. Right now, the elections are two out of every 3 years. This would change it to be two out of every 4 years. Now, along with that, of course, the specific limitation of two terms to meaning 6 years would have to be changed. So there's a proposal to change the two term limit to mean 8 years total. There's another proposal to only allow one consecutive term at a time, that if somebody could serve 4 years, and they would have to wait 2 years for the next election cycle to serve another 4 years. And there's a third proposal that says that we should have no term limits at all. So these are the basic proposals before us, and I wrote this document to speak to the interpretation of that. So shall I go ahead and start reading that now?
Sure.
All right. Suggested procedure for dealing with proposed changes to delegate term limits. Now, let me note parenthetically, this has only been sent to the Elections Committee thus far because we may decide today to make some changes to it before it goes to the Pacifica National Board meeting this coming Friday. I presume that's the direction it will be going in. So let me go ahead and read it again. Suggested procedure for dealing with proposed changes to delegate term limits. In my capacity as National Election Supervisor, I issued a ruling on August 22nd explaining how the term limits currently in the Pacifica bylaws would affect candidates for local station board in the 2007 election. It was not appropriate at that time to issue a ruling on how the various proposed bylaws amendments on term limits might work. So I did issue a speculative statement on the subject to the Pacifica National Board on the previous day. A great deal of email has been generated debating implementation of proposed term limit changes. And at this point, it may be prudent for the Pacifica National Board to adopt a motion detailing the various options. For your convenience, I offer you the following proposal based on my statement as a draft from which to work. One, this is Roman numeral one. The Pacifica National Board acknowledges the August 22nd ruling of the National Election Supervisor regarding term limits and holds that such ruling will apply regardless of the passage of any bylaws amendments in 2007. Concerning term lengths and or term limits. That reading rule. One, excuse me, that ruling reads, one, delegates who were elected to a short term in February 2004, then subsequently re-elected to a full term later in 2004, A, may run for re-election, but are subject to the term limits currently in the bylaws. If re-elected, these delegates would be required to vacate their LSB seats no later than 6 years after the date that they first took office. B, if vacating office prior to the election's close date in 2009 would be replaced by the alternate next in line from the 2007 election, and if vacating office on or after the election's close date in 2009 would be replaced by the alternate next in line from the 2009 election. Now we on to Roman numeral 2. That what I have just read was the ruling that is already in place regarding this year's election. Now, this Roman numeral 2 says, the Pacifica National Board proposed, and this is something that has not passed the board. This is a proposal to be considered by the board. 2. The Pacifica National Board proposes the following guidelines for the implementation of proposed bylaws amendments concerning term length and or term limits. 2. Because this follows from part 1, the previous ruling. Delegates who were first elected in November 2004 or who have served part of the 2004-2007 term as a delegate, A, are subject to whatever term length and term limits are adopted in the 2007 membership vote on proposed bylaw amendments, except as provided in 2E below. B, if a three-year term with a total of 6 years consecutive service is retained, these delegates are eligible to serve a full term only through the 2010 election. C, if a three-year term is retained and a limit of no consecutive terms is adopted, these delegates are eligible to serve a full term only through the 2010 election. D, if a four-year term with a total of two consecutive terms is adopted, these delegates are eligible to serve a full term through the 2011 election, at which time their two consecutive terms will be deemed to have expired. E, if a four-year term with no consecutive terms is adopted, these delegates would be considered subject to the term limits currently in the bylaws and would be required to vacate their LSB seats no later than 6 years after the date that they first took office. And, part three, candidates who are running for election, not re-election, as delegates, A, are immediately subject to whatever term length and term limits are adopted in the 2007 membership vote on proposed bylaw amendments. Well, that's the whole thing, and I'm sure that anybody listening to that without seeing it down might have a hard time following it. But if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Carry on. Thanks very much, Casey. So does anyone have questions for Casey?
Excuse me, Bob. This is Dan.
Yes.
Hello. I mean, I would like to be of whatever assistance I can be. But I do need to get off the call. So if you or other members of the committee have questions, I appreciate if they could be asked now.
Fair enough. So let's take a brief detour from the details that Casey just read and get on to kind of the process and any legal issues. So I guess the question is how to bring this about in terms of procedures and Dan wrote a legal opinion today on how to do that, and maybe could you just kind of summarize what you're recommending to be consistent with the bylaws and with legal precedent?
Okay, I mean, that's a big question. I'm not sure if
well, I just meant
what
as far as
I have in mind is the same that you have in mind, but let me just say that I, number one, understand the issue that's been raised as to whether the bylaw changes would divest people who are also elected this year from their positions, and I think it would not, and I think that's the case because, number one, by the time the bylaws are adopted, we will have conducted an entire election process and procedure and represented to the Pacifica community and to the candidates and their supporters, the people who may be elected will in fact serve. Otherwise, the whole thing would be, you know, like a waste of time. And the law you know, as they say, the law abhors an absurdity. So that would be kind of an absurd result. And I think that's consistent with our election process, with the corporation code, as well as common sense. Secondly, I do believe that the board should consider Casey's proposal and adopt some version of it, because I think that there should be clear guidance to everyone before the election is completed, particularly with respect to the fact that some people who are elected may have to vacate their seats before filling whatever term they're elected to because of the six-year limit. And I think if the board doesn't say that up front, it could be subject to a complaint later on by one of those, by a person who is elected, who then may object to resigning and raise issues, which I think ultimately would be resolved in the foundation's favor. But, you know, who knows, and who wants to invite a legal dispute about this? So those are my two general observations. If you or others have more specific questions, I'll try to respond to them.
Do either of the two of you have any questions for Dan?
Terry?
Go ahead.
Yeah, my problem with the National Election Supervisor's proposal is that the PMB only has authority to interpret the bylaws in the case of an ambiguity. And if the membership approves a change in term limits, there will no longer be in the bylaws any ambiguity that would allow an application of a six-year term, because that six-year term language will no longer be in the bylaws. So I'm supporting the idea of fixing this when it is presented to the PMB and delegates by changing the section on the transition election. And I've proposed two sets of language for that transition election section. One which does not is not consistent with the election supervisor's intent to impose a six-year term on those newly elected, if they would have applied under the old bylaws, and another that does impose the original six-year term limit on those who are currently under that term limit. And I would like a legal opinion on whether my proposed changes to the transition election text are within the scope of the bylaws amendment proposed and noticed.
Well, you know, I'm not in a position ultimately to rule, Terry, but I can only tell you what my advice is to the elections committee and the board, which is that I think that the proposals you make are reasonable and legal proposals, but I think they're not timely within the context of Pacifica's bylaw amendment. I mean, we have a pretty, you know, detailed, explicit bylaw amendment procedure with time limits for doing things and meetings held and so on. And, you know, we have some of those meetings starting right away, including tomorrow. And so I think that it would not be in order to make a substantial amendment to the bylaw proposal at this time. I think that if that were to occur, we'd probably have, you know, more problems than we'd solve. I mean, if this had, you know, come up 60, 90 days ago, that would be one thing. But my recommendation to the elections committee and to the board is not to do that. I think we would have conflicts. I've read, you know, the Roberts Rules provisions that you have circulated to people, and I understand what they mean and how they're to be applied. But, you know, there's a lot of gray there. And so particularly in that context, and where the Pacifica's own bylaws are, you know, pretty explicit, I would recommend against doing it. Now, in terms of your other point about, you know, not agreeing with all of Casey's recommendations, I think, you know, you're perfectly entitled. I mean, I don't have to say that. You're perfectly entitled to argue for an amendment of Casey's proposal either in the election committee or, you know, in front of the PND Friday night. So I think you have a perfect right to do that, and that, you know, that's legal. But I'm against the idea that the bylaws should be, the bylaw proposed amendments should be amended as you suggest, because I think that's a proposal that would lead to other people raising concerns that might be valid, that the amendment goes beyond the way the bylaws were originally proposed. So that's my thought.
This is Bob Lederer. Let me just add that I think we have a unique structure that's not really covered by standard Roberts rules, which is that we have these kind of shared decision-making bodies. We have the PNB, and then we have the five delegate assemblies. And for better or worse, our bylaws did not actually require that an amendment first be voted on by the PNB and then go out to the local delegate assemblies, which I think in retrospect would have been wiser. But therefore, we have the situation like what Dan mentioned, that tomorrow night, 2 days before the PNB meets, we have the first delegate assembly holding a vote on these amendments. So that, to me, even doubly reinforces Dan's advice that it would just wreak havoc if, let's say, the KPFK delegate assembly decide to adopt one set of amendments, amendments to the amendments, and then, you know, the PNB might disagree with that, and then other delegate assemblies might disagree with that, and it would just be chaos. So I think for several reasons, I don't see any alternative but to stick with the wording that we have of the actual amendment, but to cover, to resolve all the ambiguities through a policy adopted by the board on Friday that, you know, as Dan said, we can certainly argue over the details of what Casey has proposed. That's very fine. That's fine, and, you know, that's part of what we'll do after Dan gets off the call. Any more?
And now let me add that my proposal is just that it's just a sort of a jumping off place, and the board can do with it as it pleases.
Terry?
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Terry.
Yeah. My point is that the PMB will not have authority to adopt the election supervisor's recommendation because it will be in conflict with the bylaws as they'll be approved, most likely.
Can you explain
and I wanted to point
bit?
Out
can,
that,
I'm sorry, can you explain what you mean by in conflict?
Well, if there's a proposal that a six-year term limit be applied to certain delegates, and there will be no justification in the bylaws that are adopted if the membership approves new term limits for imposing a six-year limit at that point.
So you're referring to that
bylaws
one.
Justification for imposing a six-year limit, the PMB cannot impose one.
Okay, I just want to get clear. You're referring to that one clause in Casey's proposal, but you're not saying they have no authority to adopt the rest of the proposal that doesn't refer to the 6 years, right?
I don't think they need to adopt it because most of the proposal is consistent with the bylaws, and it would have, and they would have to apply it that way. The bylaws say that it's the most recent delegate election from which alternates are chosen if someone steps down. And Casey's proposal is exactly that. So whether or not the PMB adopts that section of the proposal, that's what the bylaws require. So the controversy in Casey's proposal is the application of a six-year term limit. And I'm saying if that's not handled in the in a bylaws amendment on the transition election, as proposed in the second proposal that I sent out today, that it cannot be applied.
Okay.
And I also wanted to mention, you'd mentioned the chaos of having delegates able to vote on bylaws amendments before the PMB, and I wanted to point out a certain power in that. Because what is submitted to the membership is only whatever amendment is approved by the PMB and three of the five station delegates, this means that the KPFK Assembly of Delegates could approve both, two or more versions of the proposed bylaws amendment. They could approve what has been proposed. They could approve both of what I have proposed. And what would eventually go to the membership would be whatever the PMB approves and three of five stations also approve. So even the PMB could approve more than one amendment, and it, and whatever text is finally approved by the required approval of the PMB and three of five station delegate assemblies is what goes to the membership.
Okay. Casey, did you have any questions or comments for Dan before he goes?
I just thank him for offering his opinion.
Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Dan, do you have any closing comments, any response to Terry's last comment?
Well, this is something I think that's going to have to get hashed out. My sense of things, because everything does have to have an order, you know, this can't be sort of metaphysical in a way. So if we say that these elections, that are currently taking place are valid regardless of the adoption of whatever bylaw changes, if any, are adopted, then we have to say that the people who are elected this time are subject to the bylaws as they exist before they're amended. But people elected in the future will be subject to the new bylaws as amended. So to that extent, I agree with Terry, but ultimately this is a policy matter that is within the jurisdiction of the, I believe, the Elections Committee and the PNB. And the other thing I would say with respect to, you know, Casey's role, I see it when we're dealing with bylaw interpretations of amendments as not being the election supervisor's rulings, but rather his recommendations, because the amendment of the bylaws and the application and interpretation of the bylaws is within the purview of the PNB and of the LSDs and the members when amendments are proposed. But other than that, no, I'm comfortable with the direction you're going in, I think.
Okay. Before you go, can you just briefly comment on the other matter that's been raised by one of the LSB members concerning the option of allowing the voters to vote for no change in the current term limit language?
Yeah, I think it's necessary to give the voters the keep it as it is option. Otherwise, you'd have a situation where the LSBs and the PNB are essentially mandating a bylaw change, which they don't have to do. The membership has the right to say, we like the bylaws as they exist. And so the members should have the no change option.
Okay, and the way to accomplish that, since it wasn't included in the formal text of the proposal, I mean, this isn't actually in the bylaws amendment. The bylaws amendment does not say there will be a vote by the membership on the following, but the proposal introducing it, explaining the procedure, said the way this will be handled is that the voters will be presented with three options. So how could we make that proper for the KPFK assembly tomorrow night and the PNB on Friday?
Well, I think that as an elections committee, and again, and perhaps, you know, Casey could opine on this as well, is that the members have to be, you're dealing with an issue, it's kind of technical, but the difference between the ballot itself and the proposals. So, yes, the proposals have been created and vetted and are, you know, passing through the system, but someone is going to have to design the ballot. And whoever has responsibility to design the ballot, in my opinion, must give voters the opportunity to say, you know, no to all the above, or, you know, no change. And if a majority of the voters vote for no change, then there'll be no change.
Okay.
But I think that's a ballot designing question rather than a question as to who has to pass what.
And I can address that if you wish.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Well, in my view, there are three different options for the term limits. That's the one term, two terms, or no term limits. There's the option for the term length, which is tied to the question of election frequency, which is term length being 3 years or 4 years. And that means, is election frequency 2 elections out of every 3 years or 2 elections out of every 4 years? So the voter can vote in favor of 4 years or of retaining the 3-year cycle. And also, there's a separate vote on the actual timeline within the year that is not wedded to the frequency of elections. So the first vote will be on...
Although, I'm sorry to interrupt, that last point you raised, that's not going to the membership. That can be resolved by the PNB and the Delegate Assembly.
My only point, Bob, and I really need to go, is
okay.
On each of the questions, they have to say, do you agree with, do you support this? Or in the case of the three options, what's your order of support? Or do you say, leave it as it is?
Right. The distinction, Casey, being that leave it as it is slightly different than the two-term option, because what it currently is 2 terms but no more than 6 years. So that would have to be a separate fourth option on the ballot.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure that everything's covered.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Dan, for taking the time.
You're welcome, Bob. Happy to do it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So do either of you have any last comments on what we were just saying, or should we get back to the details of Casey's proposal?
Well, I just want to add that for me, one of the main points in ballot design is to have as much clarity and simplicity as possible so that the intent of the voter is easy to express and to interpret.
Absolutely. Hi, Carolyn Burden here. I'm sorry to be so late. I'm joining a call, but I'm going to stay on mute because I'm in a very noisy place.
Okay.
That's
welcome.
All right.
Sorry. Sure. Okay. So why don't we go back to the specifics of what Casey read to us, and since I have the luxury of having in front of me, I don't think at this point I have any more questions, but I can imagine that Terry might. Do you have more questions or comments? You can definitely add your comments. You've already mentioned one of them, but you know, whatever you like to say, Terry.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we didn't get a legal opinion on whether or not my proposed changes to the section on the transitional election were within the scope of the notice. We got legal advice that it shouldn't be done. More or less, rather than opinion on whether it was within the scope. And counsel's opinion on the ability of the PNB to fix the potential problem with a interpretation of the current bylaws that would apply after that section was changed, I think has problems, and I would dissent from his opinion on that. I think if we want 6-year term limits to apply to any delegates in the future, if the membership approves a change in term limits, we must specify that in something that the membership will see in this next election, which is why I presented the final proposal in my email earlier today.
So let me ask you, Terry, these proposals are intended for passage by the PNB and the assemblies of delegates, but they do not need to go before the voting membership, in your opinion?
I'm not sure about that. I don't think they do, but membership has to know about it when they vote on term limits, because whatever terms are approved by the PMB delegates with regard to the transition election, which says, you know, if the members approve something or other, I think members need to know that before they cast their vote regarding term limits. So
Go ahead.
So that if the PMB and delegates decide that those elected 3 years ago would have a six-year term limit if elected in this election, then the members should know that if they rank highest someone who is going to have to step down in before their term is over, they should know that someone from the unelected candidate pool will be replacing their first choice on the among the delegates when that event happens.
Okay, well then, I understand the points Terry's making. I think the best way to go through this is to actually be specific about language. So since Terry certainly those listening don't have it in front of them, Casey, could you go back through the parts of your proposal that mention the six-year limit? And let's go through them kind of one at a time slowly.
Okay, well, as I call it up, because I was looking at Terry's proposal here. The first thing is the question of those who had been elected for a partial term in 2003 and then elected to a full term in 2004 and may seek re-election now. The question was whether they are allowed to serve another full term, meaning that they would exceed the 6 years, which currently is not allowed in the bylaws, or whether they were barred from running, having served two terms, although one of them was a partial term that was actually less than a year. The ruling in that regard is that they may run for re-election, but if re-elected, they would be required to vacate their seat once the 6 years had expired, the 6 years from the first date they took office. And then there's just, as Terry mentioned, this is in the bylaws already, but it was just to make clear to people that if they vacated their seats, if these people who have only 2 years or so left to serve vacated their seats prior to the next election in 2009, that those vacancies would be filled by alternates from this year's election. And that if they were to vacate their seats after the conclusion of the 2009 election, that it would be those alternates that filled their seats.
Okay. I think that's clear. So, Terry, is there any part of that you have a concern about?
Just what I mentioned, that the current bylaws have a specification of term limit being two consecutive three-year terms or 6 years. That section will disappear from our bylaws.
Or may.
If the membership approves a change in term limit.
Right. Right.
So if you'll look at the bottom of my email analyzing the effect of the transition election language, you'll see a proposal that would impose the six-year term limit on those elected. On delegates who were reelected this year, if the membership imposed a no consecutive terms term limit, because the assumption is that if the membership doesn't want delegates serving more than 4 years in a row, then it certainly doesn't want delegates serving more than 6 years in a row. and so that would be an indication that they want a reasonable term limit applied even for those who were just elected. So that if those just elected had already served 3 or 4 years, they should only serve up to 6 and then step down. And I believe that's consistent with the policy proposed by the National Election Supervisor, but it would put it in the bylaws so that there would be no ambiguity or conflict with the bylaws when that 6-year term arises.
Okay, well, I understand, you know, what you're saying about that, but I think that the advice that our council has given us makes the most sense as far as at this stage it's too late to be changing the actual text of the bylaw amendment. And so I really think what would serve us best is to focus on Casey's proposal, and if there's problems with it, let's propose changing it, but rather than talking about changing the actual bylaw. And so then the question is, well, what do we think is consistent with the amendment that's been offered so far? And what I understand, I mean, certainly my own intent and the intent of the other sponsors that I've spoken to is basically that none of these provisions will about the term limit, as opposed to the 4-year term, which it explicitly has language saying if that passes, it goes into effect immediately. So we're not talking about that issue. We're only talking about the term limit. When does that go into effect? The intent was it's not going to affect anyone who's either already in office before the 07 election or the people who are elected in 07, because that's happening at the same time as the bylaws amendments themselves are being voted on. So that would say to me that everyone who is in either of those categories will be subject to the old bylaws until the next election, at which time any term limit changes will kick in. Casey, does that kind of comport with the way you've structured this document?
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. Well, for the people who have served a partial term before serving the term that is now up for re-election, I have them as being under the rubric of the 6-year limit bylaws. Now, there may be a challenge to that afterward, after bylaw but for now, that's how they're categorized, is having a total of 6 years. People who did not serve the partial term, but were initially elected 3 years ago and are running for re-election now, under my proposal, would be subject to the term lengths and term limits adopted by here.
I'm sorry, you blipped out. Can you repeat?
Yes, they would be subject to the bylaws as amended membership here. For instance,
I'm really sorry. There's some kind of problem with the line. Also, maybe somebody could mute. It might be easier to hear you. Just one more time, that last sentence, please.
If somebody...
Is that... Carolyn, perhaps you could mute your phone so we can hear a little better. All right, well, go ahead, Casey.
Background noise seems... I have my own background noise here.
Oh, okay.
As well. But if somebody was first elected in late 2004 and is just now completing their first 3-year term, that they would... And then they were to be reelected this year, that they would, and that the change to 4-year terms was made by a vote of the membership, that the people being reelected in that case would be allowed to serve the full 4 years, meaning that they would have have a term that stretched to until the 2011 election. My proposal makes reference to a 2010 election, but that's for the options of a 3-year term being retained. If we retain a 3-year term, then there will be an election scheduled for 2010. If we change to a 4-year term, then we'll have elections scheduled only an odd number of years, 2009, 2011, 2013, and we'll skip the presidential election of 2012, which otherwise we will have a conflict with that. So if the people I was talking about who have served one full 3-year term already are reelected and the 3-year term is retained, then obviously they would be eligible to serve out that full 3-year term, and that would bring their full service up to 6 years, and then they would have to sit it out until the next election under the current bylaws. And under my proposal, if a 3-year term is retained and we move to a single 3-year term, as opposed to a, which was not the intent of the proposer, I think, but if this were to happen, if the no consecutive term were to be adopted, and yet the 4-year term proposal was not to be adopted, then the delegates also, in my opinion, would be eligible to serve the 3-year term based on the bylaws that currently exist. Now, that may be up for debate, and hopefully that's not the situation we're going to be facing anyway, but I was just looking at all the different options.